This is Hometown Heroes. Honoring everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes. Dave Wall has shared some of his experiences as a medic with the 1st Battalion, 34th Regiment, 24th Infantry Division in World War II. He told us the story of his own personal miracle, and his Purple Heart is a constant reminder of that. He also remembered being just a few feet away when General Douglas MacArthur made his triumphant return to the Philippines. That was on Leyte, but Dave, eventually you would leave that island and see some more of the Philippines, right?
When the island of Leyte was pretty well secure, they sent the 1st Battalion of the 34th Regiment up north to the island of Luzon, which is the big island. We invaded north of the Bataan Peninsula and came down to the Bataan Peninsula and crossed the upper Bataan Peninsula near Manila. Now, at this point, the one thing that's memorable to me and that I'll always remember it for, when we were on this road towards Manila, we were told that that was the same road that had been the Bataan Death March a few years before. So to me, that was a historic event and one that I'll always remember. However, the one different thing about this was the one time where I saw a lot of artillery fire. We saw some artillery fire during the war up till now, but here was our artillery shooting over us and their artillery shooting back. So I was right in the middle watching those shells pass back and forth, and that was kind of interesting.
Where were you when you heard the war was over?
After Luzon, we went to Mindoro for rest and relaxation. We got to rest a few days, and then they called us out on a mission there on Mindoro. And then from Mindoro, we went to the island of Mindanao, and we had made our landing in the beach hid and all the rest of it. And we were going towards, now the name doesn't mean much, except the one high mountain in the Philippines is Mount Apo, Apo, I think it is. And we were heading towards Mount Apo into the high country. The enemy was always retreating to the high country so that he had a high spot. So that's where we were going. Now, as the war was winding down and it was obvious to us that it was not as active as it had been, I ended up with yellow jaundice. What's the name for it?
Hepatitis.
And I was back in the hospital when I heard that the war, that we dropped the atomic bombs. But I was theoretically on Mindanao, but I was not. I was back on Leyte in the, at that time, a convalescent hospital. And I heard about atomic bomb, and I didn't, none of us knew anything about atomic energy. I was able to tell the guys, well, I remember my older brother in college used to talk about splitting the atom. And I asked him, what in the world would the option of splitting something so small you can't see it? What is all this atom monkey business? And then, of course, the atom bomb woke us all up to the fact that we were in a new age. And after the atomic bomb, the first one was dropped, an officer that was a college man and he knew what was going on gave us a little lecture about atomic bombs and what had happened. And he did tell us that one of the things they were afraid of was that when the bomb went off, it had never stopped. It would continue, and of course it was controlled. But it's a horrible thing, the atomic bomb, but it ended the war for me. And we were obviously getting ready for the invasion of Japan.
So the bomb might have saved your life.
That is a very possible possibility and probably a likelihood, and a lot of others. The invasion of Japan would have been a horrible thing.
No question. What was it like to come home, to see your family again? What do you remember about that?
I first of all might say sailing into the San Francisco Golden Gate was a beautiful thing. I called home and got my brother and my mother and my sister came. They came with him up there to Camp Beale and picked me up. So I got my deluxe ride back to Madeira. Naturally a big relief, but for me, at that time, I wanted to put the war behind me, and I refused to talk about it at that time.
How long did that last?
About 45 years. Actually, until the honor flight, I never talked much about it, and I think I pretty much put it out of my mind until the time of the honor flight, and it gave us an opportunity to see that, hey, we did what was expected of us by our fellow citizens and our government. And no regrets, no sadness, neither any hurrah, hurrah, look what I did. Someplace in between those extremes.
What was the honor flight experience like for you? What was the highlight of it?
Well, the highlight for me was the fact that Sam and I had planned this trip for about 5 years ahead at that time, and we had planned to go to D.C., specifically the Vietnam Memorial, which is a very touching experience. Sam at the time told me, he says, I want you to go with me because you'll understand. And I knew that Sam was a Purple Heart veteran, and I was a Purple Heart veteran. So we had that in common. We put off this trip and put off this trip and put off this trip until finally the honor flight thing came along. And I called Sam one evening and he said, you know, Chris and I have been talking about you. Are you interested in that honor flight thing? I said, by all means. So he said, let's go. And I said, you'll be my companion? He said, sure. So ultimately, Sam and I went together. And on the honor flight between Fresno and D.C., I told Sam I was an emotional person and I would surely cry. And he said he would too. So that was understood. And as we approached the Vietnam Wall, he told me, he said, I never told you this, but I was not only a Purple Heart veteran, I was twice awarded the Purple Heart, and I was awarded the Silver Star. Now I said, Sam, what did you do to get that? You know, the Silver Star is not like a coin to go buy an ice cream cone. So we saw the Vietnam Wall. We had our cry, and I think that probably a third of the guys my age that were the veterans joined us by wiping their tears away and shedding a few tears. So that was very meaningful to me to get to know Sam a little better. And then the World War II Memorial was very meaningful. The whole thing was very well done, just a delightful experience.
When you talk about the Vietnam Wall and how many of the veterans teared up, as you mentioned, I don't know if everyone listening expects that, because they would just assume that what was the most powerful thing for you was that World War II Memorial. It's the newest thing there and the reason you're going. What was so powerful about seeing all those names on the wall?
I think the fact that the Vietnam Wall is a black granite, polished, is a beautiful thing. And it's from about 2.5 feet high to probably 6 feet high or 6.5 feet high. The fact that there were 58,000 names of young guys that were like me when I was involved. And I think that made it a very powerful thing to me. And I believe to the other veterans as well.
And when you got to the World War II Memorial, there aren't names on the wall, but there are 4,000 gold stars representing over 405,000 Americans killed in World War II. Really staggering number. Is part of it the fact that when you guys finished World War II, your hope was that that really was the war to end all wars, and that you wouldn't have something claiming the lives of 58,000 Americans like Vietnam did?
The World War II Memorial was not an emotional thing for me. Seeing all the stars that represented the deaths, and there were many of them, but it was just a thing. The Vietnam Memorial was more than a thing. It was a personal thing, because there were names chiseled in stone, and it just was a very meaningful thing to me, more meaningful than anything else, I think, of the memorial.
And to be able to share that with someone else who went through similar things had to make it even more special for you.
Yes, by all means. And I've talked to Sam about this. I think that, you know, the expression, it takes one to know one. And I think that nobody totally appreciates, in spite of what I may say or what other veterans may say, that totally understands and totally has the feel that some of us had because of what happened.
Did you have some family waiting for you when you got back?
Oh, yes. That was a very delightful thing. I had never expected to see a time when I and the others would be greeted like that, with the band playing and the cheerleaders doing their thing and all this other stuff. And it was a very exciting thing to me to see the way we were sent off and the way we were gathered. When we got back, it was a delightful thing.
Just a couple more things, and I want to ask Sam a couple questions, but is there anything else that you want to say about him? Because I get the sense that you're pretty proud of your nephew over there.
Very proud of my nephew. You know, I had one occasion when the officer in charge of this group of men, we were pinned down by a machine gun that was hidden in the underbrush, and he asked me personally if I wanted a Silver Star. He said, all you have to do is stand up and empty your rifle towards that machine gun where we think it is, and the other, then my guys will see the machine gun and they can take him out. Well, he said, at least a Bronze Star, if not a Silver Star. Well, you know, from that one experience and the various other experiences I had during the war, I know that those medals are not cheap. They come by at a terrible cost to somebody. And naturally, I'm proud of Sam for what he did in Vietnam. He would probably say he's proud of me for what I did, and I didn't do anything other than what I was told to do. So, yes, I'm very proud of Sam.
Well, I'm going to bug him in a second, but I want to say thank you for serving our country. Thank you for telling us about it. And is there anything else that you think we need to understand about your experience? Is there something that you just look back and you're really thankful for or proud of?
Well, when you said thank you for your service, it brought another thing to my memory. On this honor flight, we got a hat that says Veteran of World War II. Wearing that cap has attracted people that I met on the street that I didn't know. They'd stop me on the street and say, thank you for serving our country. And I thought that was pretty terrific.
Well, I hope there's a whole lot more of that to come. Thanks again, Dave. And let's talk now for a few minutes with Sam Wall, Dave's nephew. Sam, did you grow up knowing what your uncle did in World War II?
I didn't know the details, but I did know that he was a combat medic in World War II.
So you've learned a lot about your uncle's service just in the last few months here, the last year, huh?
Since October, the honor flight, I've learned a lot more. In fact, the interview we had today with my uncle, I learned the unit he was with. I'd never known that before now.
And he told us a story of how you guys ended up on the honor flight. What was that experience like? And can you help us understand the bond that the two of you have because of your similar experiences?
It just brought us so close together because, well, we basically knew what we were each thinking. I had gone to the Vietnam Memorial in 84, right after it was opened, before the nurse was even up. The three soldiers were there, but not the nurse. And I made those who were with me leave me alone so I could walk it alone. And I did. Very difficult time. But to have a group of comrades go through that a second time and be able to find names on there of the day that I saw my comrades die and I earned that Silver Star was extremely meaningful. It maybe gave some closure or maybe gave some purpose to what happened to my life.
Maybe you can give us a brief sketch of that incident that earned you the Silver Star. And I know it's not easy to talk about, and you just told us that it resulted in some of those names being on that wall. But can you just give us a sense of what that was and how difficult it was for you?
We were ambushed. We were driving down the road getting resupplies from our combat base to our supply depot. The powers that be thought it would be good if we kind of took the same route in the same time so that we could initiate combat. And, well, it was an ambush, and they waited for the first armored personnel carrier to get through, and then they hit the second one, which I was riding on, with a rocket-propelled grenade. As a result of the combat, there were any number of men that were in the kill zone that were wounded and needed to be pulled to safety, and without thinking, I just pulled four of them to safety, went back for the fifth guy, and was unable to get him back, so I put tourniquets on all four of his limbs, hoping that he would survive until we could get help to pull him out again. That's basically the day, the event, the 15 minutes of horror that I went through.
And were you wounded in that attack as well?
Well, I wasn't pierced with a bullet or anything like that, but because the rocket-propelled grenade hit the same side of the vehicle I was on, I was thrown off the vehicle, so my back re-injured my back from a previous time I had a Purple Heart. And I continued to help the wounded until we got everybody medevaced out, and then I asked permission to go back and see if I was okay. And so they medevaced me back out, and out of my platoon, I was the only one that made it back the third time from both attacks. There were 10 guys that were in that platoon that were killed and on that wall. And the group of guys we were with for that year, we became very, very close. Not necessarily emotionally, but we would die for each other. We looked out for each other. We were comrades. We were very tight. Yet we didn't let the emotions get to us. There was that bond, but there was also a distance that when they did die after the memorial service and we got on, we did what we had to do.
Was this experience going with your uncle to those memorials, was this a cathartic thing for you too?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We were able to, I was able to express with him and share with him some of the experiences that I had. I haven't been able to share with anybody else. I think that what they're doing for Honor Flight, it's outstanding. It does something for each of us who have been veterans who go back, whether we're a guardian or whether we're honored as a guest on the flight. It completes our life, really. Gives us a sense of fulfillment that we weren't able to have before, I think. We see how people think of us in at the memorials. As we came into to Baltimore Washington International, and to see how we were greeted there, and every one of those veterans from World War II got the kiss on the cheek. And some of those guys didn't wash that off until after they got back to Fresno. But to see how people treated us, and that, you know, we aren't, especially from the Vietnam era, we weren't the villains that some of the people wanted to make us out to be, that we were people that were normal. That's a good thing.
Amen. Thanks, Sam. Dave Wall and Sam Wall, pretty unique connection that uncle and nephew have with each other. They'll both receive CD copies of this program, courtesy of one of our sponsors, EECU. And EECU has also been a huge supporter of Central Valley Honor Flight. If you at home want more information on the Honor Flight program and the hub in your area, just check out the interactive map on honorflight.org. There is a little more from my chat with Dave and Sam that I couldn't squeeze into our radio time this week, but you can access the entire interview online at hometownheroesradio.com. That's our program for today. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you that freedom is not free.